It has been a busy year in the Attorney General's office, that's for sure. You know, a few weeks ago, taking the podium to file charges against the Ingham County prosecutor who has been there for almost two decades for human trafficking and prostitution charges. Very busy there. And of course, the AG's office also investigating what's going on in Flint with the fiasco of the water and the lead and all the people and all the moving parts there finally resulted in three people facing charges, a pile of felonies. One of these defendants now, I guess, could face up to 20 years in prison as a result of their role in Flint water being inundated with lead. Our good friend, Kyle Malin, the editor and vice president of MERS News and the MERS Newsletter, here with us. Kyle, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be here, Steve.
I mean, it has been a busy year for the AG, I would say. And Bill Schuette, not shy to get out there and talk to people, as you well know. He is a gregarious politician, but these are serious undertakings.
Well, they are serious undertakings, and when I think it really hit home for the governor this week, he had a media availability hours after Schuette announced these charges against these two state employees and the one city employee, and his voice was audibly shaking. We could hear that he was pretty rattled by what he heard. We asked him if he thought that he had any criminal responsibility here, if he thinks he did anything wrong, and his answer was, I don't think so. He's got a lot to take care of here, because not only is he worried about state employees who did something wrong here, he's got to worry about the state employees that are under his leadership that he's got to assure that they're not going to be facing something similar. And that's hard to do. I mean, when you see two DQ civil service employees getting criminal charges for doing something that you could argue they thought that they were doing correctly. They thought they were following the guidelines. They thought they were doing things by the book. And obviously, as the governor said all along, that may have been, even though it defied common sense. And so now, for following the book, you can argue they're now facing time in prison. And for folks whose job is to follow the book, it's pretty disconcerting.
It's frightening for sure. And you wonder where it ends, because there has to be somebody who knew, listen, there are rules in place to deal with water. There are rules in place to deal with, you know, what kind of additives are put in the water for corrosion or any other matter of items. So they may have thought they're doing the right thing. Like you said, defies common sense. But 20 years in prison, I mean, those are serious charges from these are civil service jobs, Kyle. These are not fancy, highfalutin. These people were not taking money. They weren't trying. I don't think they went to work thinking, well, today I'm just going to not put the stuff in the water and get some people sick and I don't care. I'm going to guess these people didn't think that way. I'm going to go out and believe in human nature. They didn't think that way. But you're right. Here they are. All of a sudden they're on the hook and their lives and their liberty, their freedom is in the balance. And so you look at that and then you look at the governor and you're right. His voice was shaking. What do you think, Kyle? Is there any chance the charges could be filed against him by the Attorney General, yes or no?
I don't think so, based on what we've seen so far. Now, maybe there's evidence that has been collected by the special attorneys or the U.S. Attorney's Office that we don't know about. But based on what we've seen now, we have no proof that Governor Snyder knew anything about lead being in the water, or that he knew that the water was unsafe or could cause somebody to get sick and didn't do anything about it. And until we see that kind of proof, I would be very, very surprised to see him, get charged with anything. You know, I think it's been pretty clear all along that as far back as a year ago and maybe 18 months ago, they knew that the water wasn't quite right? But the DEQ kept saying, oh, everything's going to be just fine. You know, it's safe. It doesn't look good. And it smells kind of funky. But, we're going to fix it, and it's going to be taken care of, and it's going to be fine. So that's what the governor was going off of. Now, you could say he was being a little naive, or that, you know, he was overly trusting of his underlings. But whether just kind of being overly trustworthy and being criminal, I think, are two different things.
Well, I guess I would agree with that. Okay, here's the thing, though. I can assure you that no matter what happens with the governor, charged, not charged, he has become a target. He has become a talking point. He has become a campaign point from now until they cast ballots, they being all of us, in November. So how big of an issue do you think Flint will be beyond Genesee County, out into places like, well, let's talk about that a little bit. First District, Dan Benishek, moving on, right? How big of an issue will Flint be in places like that, and who's in the race in the First District?
Well, I think as far as the congressional end of things, and we're talking about the First Congressional District, which makes up most of the northern half of the upper or the lower peninsula and all of the upper peninsula, I don't think it's going to have that much impact, just because it's Flint's a little ways away from there, but also it's a state issue and a federal issue, and there is a little bit of disconnect there. And I haven't heard Flint being brought up as an issue by any of the candidates involved. And Jason Allen, who's one of the Republicans in that race, completely different part of state government dealing with military and veterans affairs. He's not really tainted. Tom Casperson, a state senator, the DEQ is not necessarily his can of worms either, his specialty. I wouldn't say that affects him much either. Then we got this outsider, Jack Bergman, running, who is a former or a retired general. I don't really see this impacting him either. And so what I see in the First District is Lon Johnson, the Democrat, and I think the presumptive nominee up there, he is going to be bringing up this water pipe that goes across the Straits of Mackinac, this Line 5 Enbridge pipe that carries light crude from the Upper Peninsula to the Lower Peninsula for processing in Canada. That's going to be maybe more of an issue than what happened in Flint. And I think Lon Johnson is going to ride that pony as far as it will take him. That he's raising a lot of money right now, which is pretty surprising, considering A, that he's a Democrat, and B, that it's in the First District. The First District is not known for having very deep pockets. I mean, we're talking about folks who are very middle class, lower income up there, UP, Northern Michigan, not sure. A lot of cash up there. So for Lon Johnson to be raising upwards to $600,000 so far, we're not even in May yet, it's pretty impressive. So Lon's going to be a serious candidate. It's slightly leans toward Republicans, though. And in a primary, I would think that Jason Allen would have a little bit of an edge there, but Tom Casperson's going to do well in the UP. And, this Jack Bergman, I think, is going to steal some votes away from both of them.
Let me go to the big picture then. And we're on the line with Kyle Malin from MERS News. And Kyle, you have a good finger on, what's going on in the state government all the time. But bigger picture, let's say for the sake of argument, let's move fast forward just a few weeks here. Donald Trump becomes the GOP nominee. He is a Republican nominee. How does that impact a race like the First District with, let's say it's Casperson and Johnson, just for the sake of argument here? Does that benefit? You say it leans slightly right. A lot of disenfranchised people up there, lower income people, people that are struggling, but those seem to be some of the people that are gravitating towards Donald Trump, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think that there are parts of this state where Donald Trump is going to be a serious, serious drag for Republicans. I don't think the First District is one of them. It may actually be a slight benefit to have Donald Trump at the top of the ticket if you're running in the First Congressional District. He's very popular up there, UP, Northern Michigan. Now, Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, is somebody who's got, in the public's eye, some trust issues that she has to overcome, and she is not as popular up there. Now, as far as like kind of a general picture of Michigan, Hillary Clinton is widely favored to win Michigan. She's expected to beat Donald Trump here in this state. She is viewed more favorably than Donald Trump throughout this state. But if you're looking at the First Congressional District in general, I think Donald Trump actually probably helps Republicans more than he hurts.
All right, Kyle Malin, we're out of time, man. That was a great conversation. It went so fast. Always good.
Always does, Steve.
Thank you, Kyle. Talk soon.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
It's the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.